In the meantime, though, Charlian said, I think we need to reconsider how wise it would be to allow Michael to continue on to Coruscant the way he's planned. If Wyman's come far enough out into the open, or at least been willing to escalate things far enough to kill Father Timon, I think we have to assume he'll be perfectly willing to attempt Michael's assassination as well. I know Garvey's been doing a surprisingly good job of protecting the church in Coruscant so far, but there have still been those acts of vandalism, and now they've gotten to Father Timon too. Unless we're willing to send Merlin along to personally protect Michael, I don't think we can afford to risk the possibility that they might get lucky again. Especially when we don't have anyone in Coruscant with whom we can communicate directly using the Snarks.
Your Majesty, there are some challenges I'm more willing to undertake than others, Narmon said dryly. Having sailed all the way from Emerald to Chisholm in company with the Archbishop, it's my opinion you'd have better luck forbidding snow to fall or the tide to rise than telling him he can't go to Coruscant because you're concerned about his physical safety.
Despite the somberness of their collective mood, both Caleb and Charlian smiled unwillingly. Then the Empress reached for one of the muffins, as if yielding to the prince's example. Her pregnancy and her morning sickness were far enough advanced that she was extraordinarily careful about what she ate, however, especially early in the morning. The state of her stomach was also the reason she was drinking tea instead of the rich, dark chocolate, and she looked rather wistfully at Narmon's scone, with its chopped nuts and mixed berries dripping with melted butter, then bit into the plain, dry, unbuttered corn muffin.
I realize he's likely to be stubborn about it, she began, her voice a bit indistinct as she chewed, but Caleb interrupted her with a rueful laugh.
She looked a question at him, and he shrugged.
I was just thinking about an officer's evaluation Brian showed me several years ago. It was about a certain Master Midshipman Armark, otherwise known, at least on social occasions, as Crown Prince Caleb.
It was. Charlian's eyes narrowed, then their darkness lightened with just a touch of true humor. And may one ask why High Admiral Lock Island shared this no doubt fascinating document with you?
It was making a point, actually.
Excuse me, Your Grace, Narmon put in, but this is the first I've heard about officers' evaluations. Is this a standard part of your Navy's procedures? Or was there a particular reason one was written about, the midshipman in question?
Oh, they've been part of our regular practice for 30 or 40 years now, Caleb replied. Grandfather instituted them when he was a serving officer himself. Every commanding officer is responsible for writing an evaluation of each officer under his immediate command every year. They go into the personnel files of the officers in question to be available for future promotion boards. He shrugged again. In my case, obviously, promotion boards weren't going to be a factor, since Father had already decided he needed me understudying him in Telisburg more than he needed me serving in the Navy somewhere. Still, I was a midshipman, and evaluations get written on every midshipman, so one got written on me.
I see. And who was the officer who produced this document, my love? Charlian asked.
A fellow by the name of Duncan Yearley, Caleb replied.
Charlian's eyebrows flew up in genuine surprise, and the Emperor chuckled.
He was only a lieutenant at the time, but yes, that's one reason I had Hector assigned to Destiny. And I specifically told Captain Yearley I didn't want Hector told that I'd been a midshipman under him. I doubt he would have anyway, but I just thought I'd make sure.
Under the circumstances, then, should I assume Lieutenant Yearley produced a glowing testimonial to your own sterling character, Your Grace?
Narmon inquired with a slight smile as he raised his chocolate cup once more.
Well, that depends on your definition of glowing testimonials, Caleb smiled back. What he actually said was, His Highness possesses a superabundance of that quality which, in myself, I should characterize as tenacity and maintenance of aim, but which, in His Highness's case, I can describe only as sheer bloody-minded obstinacy." Narmon, who'd been unwise enough to be sipping chocolate at that particular moment, spluttered into his cup. Charlian surprised all of them, and herself most of all, probably, by giving a sudden, delighted giggle, and Caleb shook his head at both of them.
"I can see why you wouldn't be overly concerned by his ability to deal with a midshipman of Duke Darko's sudden seniority, Your Grace," Narmon said, blotting his lips with a napkin.
"No, I'm not," Caleb agreed. Then his expression sobered slightly. "On the other hand, his description of me at 13 is only a pale reflection of Michael Stainer at 72. He can outstubborn a dragon. For that matter, he can probably even outstubborn a cat lizard, much less a mere emperor or empress."
"I'm afraid you're right about that, Your Grace."
Narmon laid his napkin on the table and pursed his lips for a moment.
"And while I understand your concerns, Your Majesty," he continued then, looking at Charlian, "I'm afraid that on a purely intellectual basis, I'd have to agree with the Archbishop."
"I beg your pardon?" Charlian seemed too surprised by his statement to be angry over it. And in light of her general mood, Narmon continued just a bit quickly before that could change.
"Your Grace, his visit has already been announced in Monchir as well as here. Everyone in Coruscant knows he's coming, and they know he's coming specifically to make a pastoral visit and show his support for the local church. If he suddenly decides to cancel that trip, people are going to wonder why. If he announces its cancellation now, immediately, before news of Father Timon's murder has had time to reach us here by normal means, we could argue his decision had nothing to do with any specific concerns about his safety. The problem is that I doubt very much he'd be willing to prevaricate in that fashion. And even if he were, there would be plenty of people, the majority of them, in fact, who would never believe the actual sequence. Whatever we might say, and whatever proof we might offer, it would be generally believed that he'd made the decision only after he learned about Father Timon's murder.